welcome everybody to The Skinny on Beauty. Let's find out the skinny on beauty today here on the whole beauty and fashion industry with your host, that beauty maven, Cheryl Hawley.
Hi, Cheryl. How are you?
Well, let's turn your mic up here. That might help, too. There you go.
Take two. How you doing, Paul?
I'm doing good. I forgot to say, this is the only tech-savvy radio show where beauty, art, and technology collide. That sounds like kind of chaotic.
There's a lot of coverage here. You know, beauty, there's skinny on all types of beauty, so I wanted to get all the elements.
I want the straight skinny today here.
Well, you're going to get it. Today, I'm here with my guest, Leah Fraser. She is a blogger and motivational speaker, if you will, for highheeledstyle.com and also Think Bright, Be Bright. Welcome, Leah.
Thank you so much. So happy to be here.
Happy to have you here. We're just going to jump right in. I'm so excited to learn more about what you do and how you inspire women and your readers through both of your blogs. And, you know, I've been following you a little bit on high-heeled style.
Yes.
And I do love your style.
Why, thank you.
I wanted to know a little bit about how you started, you know, getting into the fashion industry and what motivated you to start blogging about fashion.
Sure. And it's so nice of you to call it fashion. I'm always a little bit hesitant because that feels like people who really know things about fashion, and I always still feel like a bit of a noob in that. But I started it because I wanted to work on my own wardrobe. I wanted to step up my professional style when I was working, and I wanted to focus on things that looked good on me and made me feel good, and I knew nothing. I mean, I was a terrible shopper. I didn't know the first thing about size, cut, fit, anything. It really was a way to discipline myself and really commit to it, because when you have to take pictures of your wardrobe, it really does make you do a better job. You can't just get up and throw whatever on. And secondly, I wanted to learn more about blogging. I was working for a digital agency at the time, and I didn't really know that much about it. And I wanted to be able to provide our clients with good insights about bloggers and how to work with them and how to market. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, what better way to do it than to just jump in? So off I went, like scared out of my mind, because I had no idea what I was doing. I had no idea how to take good pictures, no idea what to wear. So you just start. And luckily, when you start, there's no audience.
so you get time.
Yeah, you get to dabble a little before you really start embarrassing yourself. And then, you know, if you're lucky enough and diligent enough, you start building an audience and you gain those skills along the way.
So when you started, and I commend you for just jumping out there and starting, because, you know, that does take a lot of drive.
It does.
You know, and belief within yourself, even if you're not quite there.
Fake belief. There's nothing wrong with fake belief. Just fake it till you make it thing. Yep.
It is so true. And I had to do the same thing when I started blogging, and I'm still learning a lot about blogging.
Absolutely.
You know, my background is in marketing, and I'm a writer as well, but blogging is a totally different field, especially when you want to make money from your blog.
Oh, gosh. So don't even get me started on that.
So, you know, in talking to you previously, you were mentioning how you started doing research on how to be a blogger and different communities. And so once you did finally launch highheeledstyle.com, who did you reach out to first, and how did you find fellow bloggers to help inspire and motivate you?
You know, a lot of different ways. I will say, you know, one is just kind of going down the internet rabbit hole. You just start clicking on links and looking, doing searches on Google for outfit inspiration or style inspiration. I literally had no idea this huge industry of style bloggers and fashion bloggers existed until I started sort of trying to find out what I could do or what I should do. You know, I would reach out to people and say, can you tell me how you got started? Can you tell me what camera you're using? I mean, even just basic things like that, because they would have these beautiful photographs, and mine were terrible, and they're still a little iffy. But, you know, just asking them, how were they getting that done? And how did they start first connecting with brands? And what was great about it, that I think is sort of different than maybe other businesses, people were really open. People were happy to sort of help you get on your feet and tell you, like, oh, here's some things I did. Oh, here's some things that you don't want to do. Like, here's some don't go there, don't do that type of stuff. But a lot of them, what was really impressive to me, I had no idea it was a ton of work. I had no idea.
Right.
I just thought, oh, people just... it was like a diary, right? You just type up your diary, take a picture, and you're done. Not at all.
Not at all. People
who are successful at it, they are spending a ton of time on their photography, styling it, doing it right, photoshopping it after the fact, planning out content, reaching out to vendors, reaching out to people that they, brands that they want to work with, and soliciting business. I had no idea. So that was how I just started reaching out to people and asking a lot of questions. I had no issues looking stupid. And I think that that's what you kind of have to do when you don't know what the heck you're doing. Don't be afraid to ask for help.
Right, right. And so you kind of, in a way, were just like cold emailing people blogs that you liked.
Yeah, commenting on their blogs, emailing them, going through Facebook and Twitter and just saying, oh my gosh, that was really cool. Where did you do that? How did you do that? You know, just asking a lot of questions and then trying things out for myself.
So is there like one tip that kind of stands out in your mind of that you got early on when you started?
You know, I think my biggest thing is if you're really wanting to do a successful blog or business or any of it, you really do need to be prepared to put some time into it. I just honestly had no idea how much could go into, because you can't just put your content out there and be done. The other thing is you have to interact with communities. You have to be out in front of all those other fashion bloggers and their audiences and commenting and responding to things and being active in the conversation, or you go nowhere. Mm-hmm. Just because you throw your stuff up there online does not mean people are going to come. I didn't understand how much of a time commitment it would have to be in order to really be successful. And I think that's what I would tell most people. Like, if you're going to do it, launching a business, launching a blog, whatever you're going to do, be prepared that you really need to put some time into it.
Yeah, definitely. And so through, you know, the process, you mentioned like you learned how to look better, and you, I quote, "I loved how spending more time on how I presented myself outwardly made me feel better on the inside."
Mm-hmm.
So kind of, what are some tips that you would give people for, you know, dressing for work or dressing as a fashion blogger? You know, just, you know, some basic colors or, you know, wear that has always worked for you.
Sure. You know, I think, you know, the fabulous show What Not to Wear, good old Stacey London. You know, one of the things that I liked about that show the most is they would always suggest to you dressing for your current body, not the body you used to have, not the body you wish you had, but the body that you do have. You know, accentuating your positives and hiding your flaws. We all have things we don't like about ourselves. So it was learning how to put on shapes of clothing that worked good for my body. And I'll tell you, here was the interesting part, and this is another great benefit of the blog. I would look at it in the mirror and think, awesome, or look in the mirror and think, ooh. But I'd go and take a picture and it would look totally different.
Really?
And I think part of that is that our eyes really do mess with us when we're looking in the mirror. We start seeing all those flaws, we look at them first, and the picture is a slightly different view of it. So I'll give you, for instance, I loved peasant tops. I thought they were divine. Every picture I ever took of myself in one looked terrible. And so I, you know, said to myself, those are great. They work for a lot of people. They don't look good on me. I have to stop buying them. But I wouldn't have known that had I not been taking some pictures of myself.
Interesting. That's a great tip.
So, you know, even if you're not going to put your pictures out into the world, which is totally fine, I think taking some pictures of yourself in outfits and seeing how they actually look on you without the lie of the mirror, if you will, you'll start to find some things that actually look better on you.
So when you found that, through that inspiration, then did you get more excited about going out and shopping?
Yes. And I think I told you before, I used to hate shopping. I thought it was a miserable experience. I hate trying on clothes. I still actually hate trying on clothes, but,
I do too.
I, you know, and I don't think, you know, as long as places have good return policies, and that's one of my big shopping tips. If they don't have a great return policy, I don't shop there, because I like to take things home and try them on and look at how they look in my own natural lighting and setting, if you will, because dressing rooms are just horrendous. So, yeah, it did change the way I shop, because I got excited about knowing things that looked good on me, brands that I liked, cuts that I liked. I got better at knowing the size, so it was easier for me to run in, grab three of what I knew would kind of work better for me, and get out. And I think one of the things I used to hate about shopping before is I didn't know that. I didn't know how to go to which brand, which store, which clothing rack, or any size, and how to do that. So it was a longer process before. So what helped me was kind of refining my shopping process and allowing me to do better at it. And that became more fun.
So how long did that, because you know what, I'm actually still there, right? I hate shopping. I hate trying on clothes. I even hate doing returns. So I'm not that type of girl. You know, I find a pair of jeans and I just wear them in, you know. So how long did it take you to then find those brands and those sizes and hone in on that?
You know, so high-heeled style is just about getting ready to be about 2 years old. So not
congratulations. Really,
thank you. Not really that long. I mean, it's been within, gosh, I would say it was probably 8 months, maybe a year into it, of taking those pictures and sort of looking at how things were looking and how I was feeling and what I was wearing that made a huge difference. Mm-hmm. And I still made mistakes, don't get me wrong. I saw this skirt at Nordstrom's. It was this lace waterfall, and it was gorgeous, and it was ridiculously expensive, and I had to have it anyway. I couldn't even wait for it to go on sale. And I brought it home, and I have had probably, I wore it with 3 different outfits, and every time I looked at the pictures of it, I went, it's just not me. It's a beautiful piece, and it was going to work for somebody, but it just didn't really go with the way that I like to dress. So I ended up giving it to a friend of mine who completely loves it. So, you know, I think you'll still find things that you're attracted to visually, or that you think, oh my gosh, I want to be the kind of person who wears that particular thing. And you'll try to maybe put a style on that's not exactly you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll realize maybe that's not the right direction anymore, or you'll find a new style. Woohoo! Like, who cares? If that's, you know,
right.
If you find something, you're like, oh my gosh, I never even knew that was going to look so good on me. And then you try it out. So, you know, it's a lot of experimentation, and you do have to sort of wing it a little bit. But when you learn to have a little more fun with it, it becomes less of a burden.
So is that same aha moment, does that also attribute to colors? Like, were you surprised that a certain color did or did not look good on you?
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love that you brought that up. So one of the terrible things about my previous wardrobe was it was a lot of black, white, and gray. Those are safe, right? We
yes.
all can wear those.
Yes.
And tons of solids, because I didn't really know how to wear pattern, what pattern would look good on me, how to mix patterns, any of that. So two of my missions when I kind of started the blog as far as improving my wardrobe had to do with more pattern and more color. And so, yes, I got a little bit more adventuresome. And again, it was risk. I mean, you just try it out. So I learned I can wear orange. I had no idea it would look good. I learned I could wear yellow, and I would have never in a million years thought I could wear yellow. So there's a bunch of different colors that I did not even have in my sights, I guess. And
right.
once I tried them out, really worked. I also learned some things like mint was a huge color last year. Everyone was wearing mint. It looks terrible on me. Couldn't do it. So, you know, you see these trends and you think, oh my gosh, I got to run out and get the mint top or whatever. And, you know, I'm really fair complected. So there's different colors that just absolutely don't work on me. But some I was really surprised. So,
yeah. And, you know, when I see you, you always look very well put together, and you have vibrant colors that do, you know, bring out, you know, your personal features. And
mm-hmm.
so I love that you were able to find that through starting a fashion
blog. Absolutely. I wouldn't have gotten there, I don't think, otherwise.
We're going to talk a little bit more about that when we get back from our break.
Can we talk about your family business? You know, that thing you put your whole life's blood, sweat, and tears into? Well, what happens when you retire or try and pass that business on to your children? At Succession Strategies, we can help you find the answers. We'll guide you through the unsettling process of protecting your family legacy and successfully passing your business on to the next generation, safely and securely, ensuring that it'll both survive and thrive for generations to come. So ask yourself just one question. Can I really afford to wait? Take the first step. Take our complimentary self-assessment at successionstrategies.com or call us at 714-560-9022 to set up a free consultation at your convenience. That's succession-strategies.com.
When you use the Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express, the rewards points can keep on multiplying. Buy three with triple points on airfare. Buy two with double points on gas and groceries. And a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then, start choosing from over a million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit AXPGold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms, conditions, and restrictions at AXPGold.com.
All right, let's keep talking about the skinny on beauty and how to accessorize. Wow, that's what they were talking about off camera here. I don't know if they're going to continue that or not. One of them said, I'm not very good at it. The other one said, yeah, I'm not either.
We weren't supposed to share that one. Although I think, Leah, you are great at accessorizing. I was actually mentioning Leah's got a really nice jewelry piece on. And tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, this is a House of Harlow necklace. I actually... I have to thank a Nordstrom's employee. I was trying on some stuff there, and I don't know if you've had that experience, but they actually bring you accessories or shoes to complement whatever it is you're trying on, and she brought me a necklace, and I fell in love with it, but it was outside of my price range at the time, and so about a year later now, I've finally sort of circled back to that same necklace from House of Harlow and been able to get that, so that's pretty fun. But yeah, I can put on one necklace. It's the layering and the bracelet things and 10 rings. I think I see it on people. It looks amazing, and I have no idea how to pull that off.
Yeah, it's kind of to each their own, you know? I mean, even with fashion, it's a very personal thing.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I mean, I'm a little embarrassed to admit that I'm just like, I have no idea. You know, I just throw on something, and I would like to be better at it myself. But I don't know if I want to put that much time into it.
Yeah, got to commit to it, you know? Got to decide on all your list of other things that you have to commit to. You have to decide if that's on the list.
Right, absolutely. Right. And I mean, I definitely would like to incorporate some jewelry and accessorizing mm-hmm. into my blog, but fashion, I think it would be a long haul. So I might have you guest blog.
Absolutely, anytime.
So, you know, speaking of guest bloggers and stuff, do you work with other bloggers, you know, for high-heeled style or do any guest blogging or vice versa?
You know, I haven't, you know, I guess I have done some guest blogging. There are several bloggers in the fashion industry who do some great blog link-ups. Some of them are so, like, there's hundreds of people who participate in a link-up. And if you haven't done that, I think those are great ways to tap into other people's audiences to help build your brand. So
yes.
You basically, you know, share a post that you have that's relevant to their topic. And that has been a great driver in traffic for me along the way. There's been other bloggers who like to do features on fellow style bloggers. So sometimes there's lists of questions, some that have little groups on Facebook that are exclusive once you become one of their interviewees, if you will. So you get all these other kinds of audience connections that you can do through reaching out. And that's kind of what I was mentioning before about you have to participate in whatever industry. I know we're talking about fashion and beauty, but even if you want to be in any blog industry or any business industry, you have to be active in the conversations that are happening in that community about that. And that's part of it, is just sharing and participating, much like what you and I do. I mean, that's right. How we met, and that's, you know, we help each other out, and that's, I love that about this whole blogosphere stuff, that people are just kind of happy to share info about you.
Exactly, and help each other out. We support each other, you know, and that's how we get our inspiration and our motivation mm-hmm. and the excitement that goes along with it. But then that also attracts other people to us, like brands,
yes,
right? And
absolutely.
Then that's when you can start making money from your blog.
Oh, fingers crossed. I mean, you know, I am lucky enough to have a little bit of that. And I had asked a fellow blogger when I was first starting on, how on earth did you get whatever brand to donate you a dress or a purse or whatever it is, or get all these advertisers on her site? And she made the comment of, you know, it just sort of evolved over time. And I went, great, now I have no idea what to do. And now here I sit, and I will tell you, that's kind of true. So I think back to that topic of being a voice in the community is part of what helps. So I'll give you a for instance of one that I have going on right now. I have a fellow blogger friend who I met through a blog group, and she was doing a giveaway for a necklace, and I entered her giveaway, and I made a comment, oh my gosh, I want it, I want it, I want it. And through that, the brand, the PR company, actually, that was working with my friend blogger, reached back out to me and said,
"Fantastic!
I saw your comment on her site. I'd like to work with you on doing a giveaway as well." And so now we have I have a giveaway on highheeledstyle.com. It's for a Blue Nile sterling silver branch necklace. It's super like delicate and really pretty. And so that all came out of me being an active participant in the community. And so I think that that's just a perfect example of sort of how, you know, how do you attract brands? You have to have a voice. They have to know who you are. If you're not out there talking and tweeting and putting stuff on Facebook and being active other than your own property, how's anyone going to know you exist?
Right, right. So how long is that giveaway going for?
It'll be done on Friday, so there's still plenty of time to enter that.
Nice.
And then I will be shipping that beautiful necklace off.
Now, do you use Rafflecopter?
I do use Rafflecopter. I think it's a great tool. If any of you bloggers out there don't know about it, just look into it. You can use it for free. It has limitations on the free version versus paid, but I have had many successful giveaways on both of my sites, actually, using the free version. And it's a great way to start building your traffic and to also help brands that you work with.
In doing the giveaways and, you know, reaching out to different bloggers, is there one thing that kind of sticks out that you would say is a setback or something that you've struggled with in maintaining the blog?
Absolutely. I think one of the things, even when I first started High Heeled Style, you know, there's always this big debate over sort of beauty and fashion and does it make you superficial and why do we need to care and worry so much about it? And I will say that, I left my business job a year ago, and my motivation to dress up and still focus on wardrobe significantly decreased, as did my budget significantly decreased. And so here I was struggling with, do I still put up posts all the time when I'm basically just re-wearing things over and over and over again and not really having a shopping budget? And, you know, what value am I bringing to readers? But in the end, I think I decided that I do still really enjoy it. I do get motivation to wear something nicer on a day that I'm going to go to the mall than I would if I wasn't going to have to take a picture. And so it does help me, you know, when you put the effort into looking good, and it affects your mood. It helps you feel better. You feel like, yeah, I am ready to take on the world. And so why give that up? And I will say it's tiring. I mean, between both businesses and contract work and various other things that we all entrepreneurs have to do to, you know, kind of make ends meet, it's a lot of work, but it's still a lot of fun. So
yeah,
you'll find a lull in your passion for a little bit, and you work through it. You just keep pushing.
And so, yeah, so, you know, you actually touching on that a little bit. So in that lull, you decided, okay, well, do I need to refocus here? Do I need to continue High Heeled Style? Do I need to do something else? And in that kind of like chaos and, you know, indecision period, you met your now partner of Think Bright, Be Bright, right? Which is, it's an inspirational blog, if you will. It inspires women or inspires others to love themselves and to achieve happiness in the mundane.
Yeah.
Right. And so tell me a little bit about that transition, because from what you're doing now, it actually helped you re-inspire your passion for high-heeled style.
Yeah, absolutely. So with leaving my job, as I've mentioned, I was doing the job hunt march, if you will, sending out resumes and hating every moment of it and not feeling inspired about getting back into the same industry and just searching for what I wanted to do. And, you know, the biggest thing is I felt like I wanted to be adding something positive to the world. I wanted to be putting something good out there, and I had no idea how to do it. And I'm very passionate about animals, so I thought about doing my horse training business again and dog grooming and all these like random things that I realized, quite honestly, really weren't very good business ventures. They were just passions. And through this sort of struggle that took months, honestly, of just not knowing where I was going and what I wanted to do, inspiration hit one day driving, which my brain works a lot when I'm driving. I don't know if any of you have that same thing, but for whatever reason, I think the most brilliant ideas up when I'm driving. And so a simple phrase came, which was, you can improve your outlook by changing your view. And about that meant, you know, we're influenced by the things around us, by the people around us, by the order or chaos around us, it affects us. It affects how we feel. And
yes.
I, from that, wanted to help people. How could they make improvements in their outlook? We all need it. I mean, it is hard. This is still a recession. There's still a lot of crap. There's a snowstorm from heck going on over in the Midwest right now. You know, so there's a lot of reasons to sort of get down. And I wanted to be able to give people ways that they could get inspired.
And so doing that, you partnered with, what is your partner's name?
Her name is Carrie.
Carrie. And so you partnered with Carrie and Think Bright, Be Bright was born in,
yes.
was it January of 2013?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so a year.
Oh my gosh.
That's a fantastic mark too. When you've made it a year in a blog, you're just, I mean, for me, myself, like I was so excited when I got to that year point with Unite Socially.
Yeah.
And I'm not quite there yet with Skinny on Beauty, but it's still a very exciting time. And so tell me about the union that you guys decided to take together and reach out. I know that you have something called the TBBB, Five Aspects of Happiness,
yes.
right? So the
yeah.
acronym for Think Bright, Be Bright. So tell me about those.
Yeah, so, you know, as we started talking about it and getting passionate about the idea, you know, I have had personal battles with depression and have some family history with that. And Caroline, I shouldn't call her Carrie, that's sort of my nickname, sorry Caroline. She also has had her various, she had a psychology degree and some other aspects. So we were really bringing some very different ideas, patterns that we've had, recommendations, books, therapy, you name it. We were sort of compiling all this information and through just literally, you should see this notebook I have. It is just full of doodles and just brain dump, which I think is a great way to just come up with ideas and refine things. You just got to go unfiltered, right? So we did this and we just started laying out ideas and what we were thinking. And out of that is sort of how we ended up coming up with these aspects of happiness that we wanted to focus on. They are not the only ones and they are not necessarily some sort of scientific route on it. But what we did find once we determined those five aspects, and we'll say those out right now, which is color, goals, lists, chaos, and choices. And out of that, we have come up with a system, if you will, that we think if you take the time to spend a little bit more on each of these aspects of happiness, that you can actually double your happiness. And through that, we are coming up with our own online courses that are going to include videos and that have some leave behind PDFs to kind of keep you inspired, as well as activities that you can do to sort of put it to practice. And just like everything else, all that we've been talking about, you know, there's work involved. If you want to do that, this isn't a pill. You can't just get quick fix, but it does help you to sort of change how your behaviors are and look at your behaviors and decide, are you the one sort of staying in a rut? How do you bust out of it? And that's part of what we want to help offer people.
That is great. I love that you're doing this.
Thank you.
I love it. And I want to talk a little bit more about those five when we get back from our break.
Okay.
He used to pester me for a walk. Now it's the other way around. Hoag's physicians perform more orthopedic procedures than any other hospital in Orange County. Our orthopedic program, in fact, ranks among the top five in the entire country. So whatever it is you live for, you can get back to it sooner. Because as it turns out, the best part of life is simply living it. Hoag for Life. Visit us at www.hoag.org.
Free analysis of your inbound marketing? Do you want it in 30 seconds or less? Then check out Marketing Grader, the free marketing tool from HubSpot. It's simple. Just go to marketinggrader.com, enter the URL that you want to analyze, and Marketing Grader will instantly give you a detailed report grading your lead generation, mobile marketing, social media, competitive benchmarking, and more. It's simple, it's powerful, and it's free. MarketingGrader.com.
All right, let's get back to the basics and talk about blogging here.
Thanks, Paul. So we were talking about the five aspects of happiness that Leah has on her blog that she's going to be, well, actually, company, right?
Yes.
Think Bright, Be Bright.
Yep.
Company that she is going to be offering to everybody to, you know, inspire them to be happier.
Yeah.
And so tell me a little bit about, let's start with color, and then we'll go into the rest.
You know, color is such a great place to start, which is why we have it first. And definitely a very personal passion for both Caroline and myself. You know, and this, a lot of this did evolve from high-heeled style. We kind of talked about it a little bit already, about learning how to wear different colors and what that can do to your mood. And, I mean, there is just so much research out there. I'm sure any of you have seen sort of the psychology of colors, and they all have a personality, if you will, and a mood that they inspire. And this is based on how our brain actually perceives the color, which is also interesting because in different countries, certain colors can inspire different things. So it's not a human thing. It's a cultural thing.
Really?
Which is totally fascinating.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And so, you know, there's a lot of things that you can do when you change the paint color in your room. It does have an impact on your mood. It changes things. So there's studies about, like, using blue in a bedroom actually improves sleep of people by, like, 52% because it's a calming color. Yeah. So there's all kinds of things where color can impact you. So from what you have in your home to what you have at your office to what you wear, your makeup choices, you know, there's a lot of people who will stick with a sort of very basic makeup palette and then one day put on a bright red lipstick. And it changes how you feel about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So color is a great way to safely play. It's not a huge commitment, right? You can change your hair color. You can do it temporarily. You can do it permanently, however you want to do it. But color is a great way to play to see what color has effect on you. So if we say that red is a stimulating color, maybe it isn't for you. Maybe it makes you angry because red can have that effect on people too. So maybe you're more of an orange person, you know, or a pink person. So there's all kinds of really interesting tidbits about how color affects us and how you can actually sort of use it to your advantage.
I love that. I love that analogy. So what's your favorite color?
You know, I stick with, well, I'm wearing it today, red. Red is my favorite color. I like it for everything. I have it in my home, and I do like to wear it, and I feel sassy, and I feel strong, and I put it on, and I think it makes me look a way I want to see myself, you know?
Right.
I don't know if everybody else will perceive me that way, but I don't care. It makes me feel the way I want to feel. I walk taller, and I just love it.
Yeah, and that's important because, you know, you, if you're not comfortable, it's going to be written all over your face.
Absolutely.
You know, so you have to wear what you're comfortable in, and it is a personal choice.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to kind of play a little bit here. So,
uh-oh.
No, it's easy. So two colors. One for work, one for home. So relaxing, right?
So, you know, it depends. There's a lot of people who do think that they want their home to be relaxing, and there's nothing wrong with that. But there's also the idea of your home being energizing. And
ooh,
so, yeah,
nice.
Right?
Nice.
I don't want to necessarily go home and beige out. Now, I will say I have a lot of beige in my home right now, but I also like to play with accent colors, and red is, of course, one of them. So you can actually, when you combine two colors like that, they actually do bring both benefits.
Elements.
Yes, which is really interesting. So I'm bringing a little bit of a calm with some beige, right? And then I'm exciting it up a little bit with red, and I'm coming up with a medium for me that really works.
Nice.
So it depends on what you want in your home. There's definitely no right answer, but you have to decide. If you want a calming environment, then you're going to stick with cooler tones, and you're going to stick with muted tones, right? If you want a room that's maybe your office and you want creativity, yellows and oranges inspire creativity. So you might go absolutely bold with one. Matter of fact, I'm looking at an orange wall in here right now.
You are.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can really, and if you don't want to commit to wall color, which to me, you know, paint is super easy. Paint it, change your mind, whatever. But you can always go with accents around the room too.
Mm-hmm.
So you can stick with a color palette and then do a bunch of bright green accents or bright orange accents. So
fascinating.
Yeah.
I love it. So the class that you're going to be offering based on color, is it to instruct the individual to find and play with those colors, and then you just kind of give the instructional guide to, you know, the general guidelines of what red brings about or what it could, the two different sides you said, like angry or it can make you feel strong.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So there's definitely just some overall education about sort of colors and their impact on us. And then part of our exercise is to basically find what your color personality is and find your true color. So my favorite color is red, but that may not necessarily be what my color personality is. So part of what we have is an actual, like, quiz that people can take and some exercises that they can do to find a color that sort of represents them. Then you might know, okay, so if my color is yellow, maybe I want to add more of it to my life. You know, maybe I haven't had enough of it. And it's one of those things that sort of brings out that inner personality that you already have. So complementing it.
Okay, so how long is the class?
You know, they're going to vary. And here's the great thing, too. I mean, they're videos, so you can pause them, play them, do whatever you want, rewatch them. So, you know, the videos are only a couple of minutes a piece. And then there's going to be PDFs that you can download after to sort of keep you fresh with what points you just learned. And then the activities are what are going to take a little bit longer. Hopefully, this is, again, you know, I don't have a way to check on people to see if they've really done it. But the hope is that if you really want to commit to this, that you will spend some time doing the activities to really sort of force yourself. You know, some of them are, we want people to create visual mood boards, like physical ones, not on Pinterest, nothing wrong with that. It's wonderful. But actually print out some stuff to inspire you and have it around you and look at it all the time.
Right.
So you have to take the time to do that. And I think if you are going to spend the time, then you'll get the benefits.
Right. And, you know, I mean, if you go into something half-heartedly, you're not going to get the results that you want. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, cheating at solitaire. I mean, who are you really cheating, right? It's like, don't cut yourself short.
Absolutely.
Do the work, yep, to get the results that you want. I mean, and that's part of the whole infectious idea that you have with spreading, you know, happiness around, yeah, is that, you know, you have to care enough about yourself to take the time to learn more about yourself, to then better yourself.
Yeah, right? And this is a hard thing. You know, there's a post up that I just did right now about it's okay to ask for help. You know, we definitely have a societal thing right now where women, we have to sort of be Wonder Woman. You know, we have to be the best mom and a career woman, and we have to be super sexy, and we have to be so fit and gorgeous and just always seem totally together. And it's a ridiculous expectation. None of us are actually going to hit it, right?
Now we have to be bloggers?
Yeah.
I mean, really? No, just kidding.
And, you know, so the point of it is we're not very good at taking that time for ourselves. And one of the things that Caroline and I talked about was, you know, when you're on an airplane and they're kind of going through that safety thing, and they always tell you to put your air mask on first and then help others.
Yes.
Right. So this is sort of where we feel like if you're not helping yourself be happy, you're not helping your kids be happy. You're not helping your husband be happy. You're not helping your coworkers or your employees be happy. So taking this time to work on you may feel a little selfish and may feel like, oh my gosh, I'll be a bad mom if I'm not focused on my kids, or I'll be a bad best friend if I tell my girlfriend I can't go out tonight. And the truth of it is, you actually can become a better all of those things by being a happier version of yourself and being more in tune with your needs. And so this is a big focus for us, is really kind of giving women permission to take the time and, like you said, commit to it and really work on being happier. Because when we're happier, we put that out there. And then we make people around us happier.
Yeah, I mean, because if you don't have yourself, then nobody has you, right?
Right. Nobody's going to take care of you but you, and we have to spend the time to do it. And it doesn't make you a bad anything just because you have.
Right. And you can still, you know, you can still manage the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
You know, and maintain good relationships. So okay, let's touch a little bit about the goal. Goals. Is it just goal class or?
Goals, whatever. Yeah, talking about how to come up with those goals. You know, a lot of us make these stupid resolutions that we don't keep at this time of year. And how is it that you're creating your goal? Are you being specific enough? How are you going to know if you've reached your goal? And I'm actually reading a wonderful book right now called The Desire Map by a lady named Danielle Laporte. And her whole thing is that we're setting goals backwards. And I'm really intrigued with this because it ties in a lot with how we were going to attack our goals. And part of it is that you need to know how you want to feel at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And so that you can make decisions, all those things that come up, because goodness, this is part of the goal setting problem, right? We make this perfect plan and everything's going to go perfectly and it's going to just work, and it never does. And then we stop our goal because we're frustrated. So her point and part of what we want to help people do is get better at knowing how is it that you want to feel? What is it that you want to achieve at the end of the day? And that way, when those things come up, you know to say yes or no to things. You know to say, I can't focus on that. I'm focusing on this. And it helps give you better direction that way.
Okay. Okay, good. And then lists. Tell me about that. So making lists.
Yeah.
Okay.
So lists are, you know, you have to have actionable items. If you're not creating steps for yourself, little mini steps, those goals can sometimes seem a little too lofty. You don't know how to get there. So lists are a way to create that roadmap and kind of have a sense of accomplishment. I don't know about you, but I love checking things off my list. Like, I literally have to have a physical list where I can check it off. And so part of what we want people to realize is that you can't just make a goal and then sit back and wait for it to happen. You have to make actionable items to sort of get yourself there.
Yeah, because it is in the action.
Right? Absolutely. Yeah.
Definitely. Paul, we got 3 minutes? Okay. Okay, we've got two more.
Yeah, I'll go fast. Chaos is embracing the idea that life happens, and actually getting us to be a little less rigid and a little less full of plans and being able to roll with it a little bit better. And then choices is about, now that you have these tools at your disposal, making the choices that are right for you, making those choices that sometimes are hard, but that are the right ones to make you yourself feel better.
And so in that one, I'm a little interested in that one. So what is your plan and attack for that, you know, to inspire people to make better choices?
You know, we made this little really simple decision tree, because at the end of the day, they really shouldn't be that difficult. We make them a lot more difficult, but it's really about looking at, if I make this choice, is it going to empower me? Is it going to make me feel better? And if not, being okay walking away from it. And that's the problem. We're kind of hoping that we're giving people permission to say no.
Good. I like that. So then in that, I mean, you're asking the individual to look within themselves,
absolutely,
right? I would hope.
That's the only way.
I would hope. Okay, good. Because there's a lot of people, and I used to struggle with this a lot, where, you know, is it okay if I make this choice? Is this the right choice? And it is. It's like you were saying, looking within you,
absolutely,
to make sure that
you're
that
the
choice
only one.
Is right.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. I'm so inspired now. So we'll talk a little bit more about Think Bright, Be Bright after the break.
It takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. And at the end of the day, the difference between a child becoming one or the other could be you. So United Way is asking you to make a pledge. Tutor a child who needs help. Mentor a kid who needs someone on their side. Volunteer to read to children. Because when a child advances, we all advance. Be a reader. Tutor or mentor. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge now at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
In their respective industries, we all know the Apples, Starbucks, and Trader Joe's of the world. In the realm of recruiting, Decision Toolbox is the industry's best-kept secret. With 90% of their business from referrals and repeat customers, for over 20 years, Decision Toolbox's U.S.-based team of recruiters, sourcers, professional writers, quality personnel, and tech support has perfected a Six Sigma approach to talent management. No matter the size of the project, Decision Toolbox delivers incredible results. A cost per hire less than half of what contingency firms charge. With the winning candidate presented in an average of 14 days. All with a 12-month candidate warranty. With results like that, Decision Toolbox won't be a secret for long. Visit us at www.dtoolbox.com for more information.
This is the sound of a flat-screen television hurled off a building. Now the new bike your kid wants. These are the things you could have, all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Use Energy Star light bulbs and appliances, and you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
All right, back to our interview with Leah Fraser here from HighHeeledStyle.com.
Thank you so much for being here, Leah.
I've really enjoyed
this time and learning more about what you do and how you inspire others. And I can't help but think, I mean, it's got to be hard maintaining two blogs.
It's a lot of work. It is.
So how do you stay focused?
I will admit, I don't always stay focused. And that, you know, you have to sort of give yourself that. But, you know, if you're not posting regularly, I don't know if you have this that you ever do, but Google Analytics is my motivator, quite honestly, because I will look at it after I haven't done a post for a while and it's just dropping. It's this plummet of visits and plummet of activity going on my site. And that, quite honestly, is just the proof in the pudding. Like, the more you're out there putting content out there, being fresh, being regular with what you're doing, then you can kind of keep your traffic, your audience engaged. The minute you start dropping off, they're out. They have so many other places they can go. And if you're not being consistent, down you go. So do I fail on that? Absolutely. Was the end of the year a complete, you know, flat line almost in traffic and everything else? Yes. But, you know, then you kick yourself in the pants a little bit and you dust yourself off and you get back going again. And so
I like that you go to the visual aspect of it, too. You know, you go straight to the proof.
Oh, my gosh.
that's awesome. I'm going to start using that.
It works.
I just know for myself, you know, having a marketing agency and focusing on social media, that you do have to be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love that you know that as well. Because, I mean, even, you know, people in our industry, they don't always really know what that means, you know? So I like that you just go straight to the end result, you know, show me what I'm not doing right.
Oh my gosh. And, you know, we've said it, I don't know, a dozen times already today. It's a commitment. I mean, it is a constant and regular thing. And I wish I could tell you I've recommended this for clients and I don't do it for myself, which is at the beginning of the month, plan out a content calendar of the things that you want to discuss or email or blog about, and then you're set. I wish I was that together with my own stuff. I know I need to do it. I know it's a great strategy so that you're not sort of scrambling at the last minute. It's
you're
the balancing
human.
Act. Yeah. And yeah. You end up scrambling. That's the inevitable thing. But, you know, when you're trying to make a living, the other motivator is, oh gosh, I got to get some money in here. And if you're not having traffic, if you're not having an audience, if you don't have people interested in what you're saying, how are you ever going to do that?
Right. Well, you are, you know, you've got something coming up, right? So you have planned this, something
mm-hmm.
with a new giveaway.
Yeah. So Think Bright, Be Bright is going to be working with an amazing lady named Jessica from the Confetti Bar. And I came across her through one of those internet rabbit holes I was sort of talking about, just reading other blogs, and somebody had mentioned her product. And I was like, what is this? And then I looked into it. Another great entrepreneur who has left her real job to do something that she's passionate about. And that enthralls me. I'm so excited. I want to learn more. I feel like I want to feed off that energy. So we'll be doing an interview with her and a giveaway. So hopefully other people will also be excited.
And when is that going to launch?
You know, I am working a little on her schedule, but so hopefully in the next week or so.
Okay, awesome. So we've got a couple minutes left, and I just want to kind of make it clear how people can get a hold of you. So what's the best approach?
Yeah, so obviously you can find me at highheeledstyle.com, and from there you can find Twitter and Facebook and blog Lovin' and all that kind of stuff. And then of course also thinkbrightbebright.com, which also has its own Facebook page. So I'd love for people to come there and sign up for our emails on ThinkBright and be a regular visitor on High Heeled Style, of course.
And through the email list, they'll be able to know when you're going to be offering these amazing classes coming
up,
right?
Absolutely, yep.
Okay, so I'd like to end my shows with a favorite quote.
Yeah, so I love that you asked this question, and I was trying to come up with a new one, but I have an old standby that I go to, and it's time you enjoy wasting is not wasted time.
Ooh, wow, that gave me chills. It really did.
Nice.
That's awesome. I think that's my best quote yet, Paul.
Oh, awesome.
Mine, I do a different one every week. So mine is, the best way to predict the future is to create it, by Peter Drucker.
Awesome. Love it.
Thanks so much for being a guest on The Skinny on Beauty. And I'm looking forward to hearing more about you and following you on both your blogs.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to The Skinny on Beauty, the only tech-savvy radio show where beauty, art, and technology collide. Tuesdays, right here on Orange County's only community radio station, OCTalkRadio.net.
It takes 12 years. years to create a graduate, it takes about the same time to create a dropout. And at the end of the day, the difference between a child becoming one or the other could be you. So United Way is asking you to make a pledge. Tutor a child who needs help. Mentor a kid who needs someone on their side. Volunteer to read to children. Because when a child advances, we all advance. Be a reader, tutor, or mentor. Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge now at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.